today we are going to be talking about Elisha. Now, last week we talked about Elisha and how his life foreshadowed what following Jesus would look like. And Elisha's name actually means God saves. And it provides us, his life provides us with this prophetic foreshadowing because there's many moments where we see how God intervenes and steps in. And it's a prophetic foreshadowing that we can see Jesus, the perfect prophet. He points to Jesus with his life. And so we're going to kind of dive into this story that we read, and I'll read it again in just a second. But this Sunday, we're going to take a look at this story that is about indebtedness and supernatural provision. And it's really interesting because this word supernatural provision in our prayer team and even for myself, and honestly, this is not a term I use often or ever really like. It is a reality for our life, but supernatural provision isn't something that I talk about a lot or comes to my mind a lot. But it has literally popped up in our prayer time, in my personal prayer time. It's very interesting. We kind of came together this week as a prayer team, and multiple people had this term come into their prayer life before we sat down to pray together individually. And so I find that often when that happens, God is trying to say, hello, I'm trying to say something here. Interestingly enough, I was also reading through sort of my sermon outline. We all try to align as Life Center churches, and it was about supernatural provision. And so I believe there's a message here for us. And I've really prayed over this, and I feel that there is something that God wants to just deposit in our spirits. And so let's read through that story again in 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. And I want you to take note of the need, the obedience, and the provision in this story, okay? So here we go. Now the wife of one of the sons, Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house." And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Go outside, borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in, shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all the vessels, and when one is full, set it aside." And so she went from him, and she shut the door behind herself and her sons. And she poured, and as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." And then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on the rest." Now, this story contains genuine need. You know, you can see it clearly there. Totally insufficient means. She didn't have what she needed. And dire consequences. She was desperate, right? And really, the reality is all of us, this is our story. Whether we have plenty of things, plenty of money, we are still desperate. We still have needs we cannot meet. There are things that need supernatural provision. And there are dire consequences to those needs not being met. Supernatural provision, though, is a difficult phrase in church. I think, you know, when we hear this term, it can stir up a whole lot of things in our minds. But what I am saying, I'm not saying, is that God, I'm not talking about, that God wants to make us rich and comfortable. Though wealth can be a part of God's provision for us, what I am talking about is God meeting our needs in supernatural ways. God coming into places in our lives where we have needs that we cannot meet. Where nothing is there available to us. We look around and we're like, how am I going to meet this need? And here is what I know. Jehovah is a good God. And he wants to provide for his children. Not only does he want to provide, but he is a perfect provider. He He's not just a good provider. He doesn't sometimes show up. He is the perfect provider. And the stories we read in the Bible display God's character. We read of many miracles both in Old Testament and the New Testament. Elisha's life, which we read about in 2 Kings, is full of miracles of provision. I encourage you to go read. It's just miracle of provision after miracle of provision. And these miracles prophetically point to our great provider, Jesus, who not only created us, but also supernaturally provides for our needs, including our greatest need. And this is one that none of us can deny. We have a need in this area and cannot fill it, and that is salvation. Salvation. Every single one of us needs salvation, whether we recognize it or not, and cannot fill that need ourselves. We need supernatural provision in this area. It is easy to say that supernatural provision or that salvation is our greatest need, but it's hard to live like it is, isn't it? This provision from God also cost him the most out of all the things that we need. There is nothing else that cost him like this did. Our salvation cost him more than any need you can look at in your life. And for the father, it cost him his son. Now, I want you to pause and think. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. Think of that cost. Whether you have kids or not, I think you can imagine how it would feel. I want you to just take a moment and think about that provision for us. Place yourself in his position. If a need of someone else cost you sending your child to be put to death, is there anything else that you could say had a greater cost? I don't think so. Even my own life would cost me less than my child's life if I look at it. I would rather lay my life down than lay down my child's life. With this in mind, I want you now to think of your needs. What need do you have that costs more than salvation? And though we off the top of our head could be like, oh, nothing, our emotions probably tell us something different. Your feelings may give you a list: the house you need, the car, the education, the medical needs, the relational needs, the emotional needs, the mental needs. There's a list that you could probably give that your emotions try to tell you cost more or are greater or are more urgent. But the reality is there is nothing of greater value. Our salvation is a gift beyond price. And it says in the Bible that as Jesus got ready to pay this price for us, he did it for the joy set before him. That's you and I. That's being near to us. The fact that he could have joy tied to laying his life down is amazing, isn't it? But it's funny, isn't it? Our salvation quickly becomes something that we get used to having. It's kind of like my wedding rings. When I first got these, I was paranoid I was going to lose them. I stared at them. I was cautious with them. I took them off and placed them like practically under lock and key when I had to do something. I was very aware of their presence, extremely aware. But over time, they became a regular part of my life. I made hamburgers wearing them. I clean in them. I changed dirty diapers wearing them. I garden with them on. All sorts of things that you know, when I first got them, I would have never thought to do. I would have definitely taken them off and put them aside. And it's good. It's good that I wear them all the time. That is what they're meant for. They're a symbol of my commitment and my covenant with Jeff. They're meant to be worn and on display and a part of my regular life. They're not meant to be tucked away, never to be worn, fearful that something's going to happen to them. That's not what they're meant for. Our salvation is meant to become a regular part of our life. It is meant to be something that we wear, that displays our covenant with God. But it can get to the point where we forget the message of the gospel. We should be aware that our life is secure in God's hands in every way because he paid a cost that we cannot even grasp. But sometimes, as we get comfortable in our salvation, we forget the cost that was paid for it. We forget how significant this is, and we get all comfortable in it. And so then when we look at our earthly needs and our physical and emotional and mental and spiritual or relational needs, we should be able to pause and look at the incredible priceless gift that salvation is and recognize, I have no need to fear or be anxious. God's got me. If he was willing to pay this to just be near me, to have me in his presence, I think he can take care of the rest of these things. If he was willing to pay this, then he's got the rest of the things. Did you know that we're actually told to wear our salvation? We're to wear it as a helmet, that it protects our mind, that it's meant to be a filter, that we put everything through. And really, when we take salvation and we go and we lay down things beside it and go, okay, salvation costs this. This costs God next to nothing to give me, to take care of. This situation is easy for him to handle. Salvation, if we'll wear it over our minds, if we'll filter our thoughts through it, will reconcile everything. It will bring everything into proper alignment. And so we're meant to put that on every day, just like I wear my rings, to remind me of who, of what is going on in my life. I'm meant to wear salvation, and it should be there all the time. It is a part of our armor, and you can look that up in Ephesians 6. The challenge is we forget about salvation. We get so used to it, we don't even see it on us anymore. And then, when we look at our needs, we fear. We fear because without that filter, we do not trust. We do not trust because we forget what God has done or do not realize the magnitude of what he has done. We fear because we wonder if God is actually going to show up. We wonder if he's actually good. Fully good. And you may not think those thoughts. You may just feel it. You may just, somewhere in the back of your mind, this particular area, is he going to show up? Is he going to provide? Is he actually this good? But the God of the universe, who has every resource in his hands, who gave us the gift of infinite value, is only good. I promise you, He is only good. He is perfectly good and has promised to provide for us as we follow him. It's a promise. God will not fail to fulfill his promises. He promised salvation, which cost him everything, and he came through. So the rest of his promises, you can count on him. You can count on him. God sees us and our needs and is eager to provide what is needed. There are some things we can learn by looking at Elisha and Jesus as they performed the miracles that put God's character on display. Because really, that's what miracles are. Miracles are done not just for the sake of those doing them, but they are always there to show the wonderful character of God. They're there to help people know who God is. It's not just for our benefit. When God shows up with a miracle, it's not just for me to selfishly hold on to. Though it's a great blessing for me, it's meant to also put God on display. It's meant to be a story of how God has shown up, why you trust God. When we look at the story of the widow and her son, we see that God sees our needs. The widow is absolutely desperate. Her sons are about to be taken as payment for the debts that she has. I can't even imagine sitting in that position. I can't even imagine looking at that, the desperation that she would have. And there was no one there ready to pay it. There was no one there ready to kind of be like, here, let me help you out with that. Her fate, their fate, seemed sealed. So she went to Elisha, which in this time was the same as going to God. The prophets at that point represented God. And so she went to God. So we're meant to go to Jesus. She went to God, she went to a prophet, and Jesus is our perfect prophet. so we can go to Jesus. So she went and told him the desperate situation she was in. So we can see here that we are to go to God. We are to go to God. When we have a desperate need, which I'm sure each one of us do, each one of us probably sitting here has something we're looking at that we need help with. It could be a physical need. It could be a spiritual need. It could be something that you're trying to shake. It could be an emotional need. We need to go to God. We need to go to God. When we are anxious about something, it says this in Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So bring your needs to the Lord. This is the first step we are to take when we have a need. When we look at her life, she went to God. She was desperate. She went to God. She didn't go to try and fix it. She went to God. So the prophet next asks her what she has. The prophet says, what do you have in your house? And she says, I have a little oil. So my question to you is, what do you have in your hands? As you go to God, God will often reveal to us or ask us, what do you have? He'll show us that there's something in our hands that he's probably going to ask us to do something with. God asks us what we have to work with. He will ask us to be honest about assessing what we have physically, spiritually, emotionally, or mentally. We often want to show up to God, and we usually don't see very clearly. But God will show us what we have in our hand. Sometimes it's just choice. When it comes to salvation, we have our lives, and we have a choice. That's what we come with. And he invites us to give our lives, and we have the choice. So whenever we come before God asking him for help, he will often show us what we have to work with. Then the prophet invited her to take a step. He then gives her a step to take, just one step. God will give us a step to take with what he has already given us to steward. When it comes to salvation, you were given a life and choice to steward. And you can choose to give God that life. You can choose to submit your life to God, or you can choose to not. When it comes to financial need, God will show you what you have. He'll say, look at what you have, whether it's debt, whether it's whatever. And then he's going to give you steps of obedience to take to align it to him, so that he can continue to provide for you. When it comes to our emotional needs, and he's done this with me over and over again, he'll say, he'll show me what's going on, and then he'll give me a step of obedience to take with what I have. It may be caring for someone, or paying a debt, or to stop doing something, or start doing something, or spend time with him. What would have happened if she had not taken those jars? Just think about it. If she had have heard from the prophet, you know, go and do these things, and she sat there and just waited to, like, wait for a sign that she should go do these things. What if she had have just sat there with that oil and waited for the oil to go up just a millimeter? Or waited for some sort of moment to prove that God was actually asking this of her. What do you think would have happened? She would have sat there, and she would have waited, and her sons would have been taken. It required action. It required a step of faith for that oil to start pouring out. Or what if she tipped it on the floor, and it started flowing, and she had no jars, and it's just wasted? What God poured out just got wasted all over the floor and was of no use to them. God will ask us to take a step of obedience. He asks us to take steps of faith before we can see the full picture. You know, often we'll go to God and we'll be like, God, I have this need. Just show up. I'm so guilty of this. just show up, God, you know, and we wait for some, like, you know, something to appear in front of us or something to just miraculously happen. But meanwhile, we have this little nudge to go do something small often, or a step of faith, or maybe, you know, maybe it is. Like, I know in my life, there's been times where God has asked me to give something that cost me, and it may not have been a lot, but it was a lot at the time, you know, or for me, time, to give my time. Often he'll say, I want this much time, or do this, and I'm like, oh, I don't know where to fit this in. I don't know how to step out in this area, and I'll just keep doing my life as I was doing it, and I miss what he has for me, because I won't take that step of faith. I won't take that step of obedience. This is an important point for us, and I think, honestly, this is where most of us get hung up. Most of us recognize that God is our provider. Most of us will go to him and say, God, I have a need. And we'll present it to him. And we'll even look honestly and assess honestly and say, oh, look at what I've got going on. But when it comes to that step of obedience, we get afraid and then we withhold. Or it's hard. It takes work that we're like, It costs. She had to shut herself away and do the work required of her in order to see all that God had for her. Could she have created that oil on her own? Absolutely not. She still needed the miracle. She could have collected all the jars. She needed the miracle. She did the work she could do, and then God had to show up. She had prepared her life for the outpouring of oil. It would have been no good to have endless oil to fill those jars, but no jars. It would have just either stayed a little oil or spilled all over the floor. And it's no good to have all that oil and just celebrate it. If it's pouring all out of all over the floor, it's not going to be of any good. We need to do the obedient step. When we are asking God for provision, he is asking us to step in faith. We need to prepare our lives for his provision. When the widow asked for help, I doubt she assumed this is how she would be provided for. When we come to God asking for provision, we need to come ready to do whatever he asks of us with what we have, recognizing that he is the provider and what we have is not enough, trusting that he, as we come to the end of what we have, he will have the rest. As she showed up and submitted what she had, God showed up with supernatural provision. Once she had fully exhausted what Elisha had asked of her, she went back for instruction. We need to approach things this way as well. We need to be careful not just to take the moment that God shows up and then run off and do our own thing. We need to make sure we go back and ask for the next step. We need to make sure that we're submitting to God the full way. He wants us to look to him for everything. He wants us to submit all of it, not fearing making bad steps, not at all, but looking to him to guide us in every step. He wants us fully dependent. If God is willing to pay such a great price to bring you near him, why would he not care enough to walk you through the entirety of the journey? He wants to walk the whole way with you, not just the big moments. God has a life for us that we cannot imagine. He has provision we cannot imagine. God lives outside the box of our limited imagination. Thinking about salvation again, even with all the prophecy, even with all the things God had done previous to Jesus showing up, the people who knew the word the best didn't even recognize him because they were putting it in a box of what their imagination thought it looked like. We have to allow God to be bigger than our own minds can box him in with. And so as we're seeking God for provision, we have to trust that his provision may not fit within our understanding. We have to trust that when he nudges us to do something, he can show up in a way we can't imagine. They didn't imagine a servant laying down his life. They imagined a king showing up royally, dominating everybody. That's not who God is. And that's not how he came. Will we prepare our lives for him to pour out his provision? And so I want to take time to seek God. I genuinely believe that there are some of us here today that are facing some things that we have a great need for. It may be something that you feel like God is asking of you. It may be a future you feel like he's calling you into. It may be financial need. It may be relationships that are broken. I don't know what it is for you. It may be health. But I genuinely believe that there are multiple of us in this room that are looking at something and asking God for provision, but are afraid or nervous or fearful of the ask. Or maybe haven't sat long enough to hear what God's asking. And I don't want any of us to miss what God has for us. I don't want any of you to miss the fullness of what God has for you, because there is fullness in it. There is fullness in it. Where have you been filtering through fear? Will you start filtering through salvation? Will you start looking at your needs from the perspective of a God who laid his life down? Will you listen to God with the mind of salvation, confident that he will show up as you set the jars of obedience out? And so I'm going to invite Famke up here. And she's just going to play and sing. And I just want to invite you to take time to seek God, to be with God, to let him speak to your need, and to let him maybe show you a next step. I'm going to invite you to take time to lay down the fear and to choose to trust him. And as I prayed about this sermon, I thought, oh, I'll just let them go and chew on it, but I really genuinely believe that God wants us to take a step of faith, even in processing this. God has supernatural provision for you. He does. But supernatural provision takes steps of faith. And so we're going to just take a moment now and just bow our heads and invite God to speak to us. God, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit. I just pray for every need in this room. Whether it's salvation, maybe there's somebody here who doesn't know you yet. Whether it's financial needs, whether it's a call on their life, whether it's relationships that they're struggling with, whether it's being the parent that they want to be. God, I don't know what it is, but I believe there are needs in this room that you want to meet and you want to show the next steps, and you want to strengthen by your Holy Spirit each person to take those steps. So Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you would start to work in people's hearts. That you would speak to them. God, I just ask that you would help us to live our lives submitted to you. Help us to forgive as you ask us to forgive, to be generous as you ask us to be generous, to be patient. God, that our obedience would reflect the God that we follow. That our obedience would reflect a God that shows up. God, that we would show up in obedience so that you can show up with supernatural provision. And so as Famke plays, I'm going to invite anyone who wants to step out and just take a moment and submit or surrender to God in a very tangible way. You're welcome to come to the front. And this may be for one person, I don't know, but I just feel that this is something that God is inviting us into that takes very tangible steps. And so, Famke, you can go ahead and start playing. Famke's just going to play and sing, just worship God. The words are not going to be on the screen. But I just invite you to come up. If there is steps that you feel like God's asking of you and you're afraid, or you don't know what the next step is and you just need to say, God, I have a need, I invite you to take a step of obedience. To just say, God, I'm going to choose to trust you. Maybe you've been holding back. And so I know it can be uncomfortable, and I don't want to force anybody, but I just feel that this is a moment. And there's nothing special about the front, but there is something special about just making that choice. And so you can come at any time. You to take time and just ponder and think. People will be up here praying over you as you come up, if you'd like to come up. But a surrendered heart is something beautiful to God. So if you're not coming up, feel free to sit in your seat and think about it too. But I just ask that we keep it a little bit quiet. We don't do this often, but just to allow room for Holy Spirit to work in these places in people's lives, because this is important. God wants to show up with provision. And there's desperate need in this room. So those of you who don't want to stay, you're welcome to go. Those of you who want to just sit and linger in the worship, you're welcome to do so. So God, I thank you. I thank you that you want to show up tangibly in our lives. God, teach us how to surrender fully. Teach us how to surrender our lives fully in trust, because we need you. God, there is a life that you have for us that is so beyond our wildest dreams. And I want that for every person here. And I believe it's something you're calling people to in this church, without a doubt. God, I can hear you calling us to it. To a way of life that requires dependency on you, that requires supernatural provision, because it's things we can't manufacture ourselves.